Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I have a fourth-generation South African author who spent the first 23 years of her life in Zambia, where she had a baboon for a pet and learned to tell a log from a crocodile. She is Rassandra White. Rassandra is the author of the recently published novel Monkey's Wedding, set in Zimbabwe, as well as the memoir Love You Bye, Holding Fast, Letting Go, and Then There's the Dog. She lives in Laguna Beach with her two Staffordshire Bull Terriers, with whom she fights for space in her bed. And when she's not writing, she's at the gym or hiking the hills behind her home in Laguna Beach. And I am excited to share her with you, so welcome to the network, Rassandra.
Thank you so much. I am very excited about this.
Me too. I was looking forward to this. Big burning question for me before we delve into your books. Tell us what it was like to have a baboon for a pet.
You know, I was like, I think I was six, and usually our pets came from the Congolese traders. They would come from up north and bring, we've got our parrot that way, Corky the parrot, who used to go on all our trips, by the way. And so we got this baboon from this one of these traders, and I called her Archie, and she lived in a kennel at the far end of our yard on 10th Avenue in Nkana, which is where I grew up. And I used to play with her, but baboons are kind of, she was trying to mother me. And in mothering me, they discipline by biting. So my mom used to go a little nuts trying to keep me away from Archie. But I can still remember. And then I've had monkeys as well. But Archie was very special. And then we left Nkana, and we gave Archie to somebody. I don't like to think about that part.
Yes, I can imagine how attached you would be. And they are so human-like. And I can imagine what a fun, colorful life you had there, right?
Yeah, and I must say, like in my in Love You Bye, I have a piece where Archie's is looking for fleas. You know, she used to sit me kind of, well, I snuggle in between her knees, so to speak, and she would look for fleas in my hair. And it was delicious. I mean, you know, the little fingers scratching in my head. Yeah. And then I don't think she found fleas. She might have. But she would make this little clicking sound every time she thought she found a flea. It was, yeah, it was lovely.
I love that story, Archie. I'll have to think about her every now and then. Well, now, what was then the catalyst, if there was one, that caused you to write?
You know, it was almost like a build-up of all these. And I thought, I started writing, like 25 years, started writing, just writing stories from the past. And I thought it was just, I was going to do this thing about, you know, just a chronological, and then we went here, and then we went there. We took trips up to East Africa. My dad was quite the adventurer. He was born in South Africa, so was my mother, but he loved Africa. And we would travel all over the place. And I thought I was just going to do a chronological thing. But I wrote this terrible, terrible memoir. It, right in the beginning, it was like 500 pages of flashbacks. It was just awful. I'm embarrassed when I even think about it. But it was trying to get a hold of. I had no essence or theme or central story. I was just saying, and then we went there. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot about this. And then before this, I did this. And from that, I got to an essence. What I was trying to do. I have a mentally impaired brother. And he is a huge theme in my story, the heartache of that and the guilt that I felt that he was well, wasn't well and I was. And that's simplifying it. But it was the motivation came from my brother and my love-hate relationship with Africa. I love Africa. I mean, it is part of my nature. But I wanted to get out of there as quickly as I could. So when I was 23, immigrated to the United States, and this was my goal since I was 8. I always wanted to come here. I dreamt about America. Mm. It was so much more, it was richer. You know, it's like, not that I liked the civilized part when you think about it that way, but it had snow and it had toboggans and all these little families, you know, getting together and going on civilized trips with toilets at little stops. We used to travel through the bush at night. We'd be bucked crossing the road, or, well, it's not like we had to dodge lions, but it was so much heartache for me in that aspect of no control over the environment. And now that I'm in America, there's too much control over the environment. You know, I mean, like everything is so civilized, and I yearn back for mm-hmm. Africa. So it's kind of like a split personality when it comes to, you know, who I am at this point. But my motivation for starting to write, was trying to reconcile my past and my relationship with my brother.
Mm-hmm. I think so many people write for that same cathartic purpose, and that sounds like was happening to you when it was just all pouring out. There was no rhyme or reason to it, but I guess that's a great way to at least begin to get it out of you, and then you could take a step back and look at it and think, all right, how do I organize this, and what is my purpose for doing this?
Right. Mm-hmm. In that process, I mean, I really learned to write from, first of all, you have to get the craft down, you know? I mean, it's like, it's a long journey to honestly say what you really mean. You know, you can tell a tale, but if you're not putting everything about you in it, it doesn't live. And I instinctively knew, I mean, it's like learning anything. You're getting the craft, but at the same time, it's not cutting the mustard, so to speak. It's just not working. And I mean, I wrote this whole book, this horrible thing, and I had very kind, very, very diplomatic reviewers give me clues. And then I went to school, and I got a little bit better at it. But I had to find my heart. I had to really dig deep within myself. And then when I wrote my memoir, so I wrote Monkey's Wedding first, actually, and then Mind Dance is the sequel. And then I shelved those because along the way I had an agent, and I almost had it published, but that fell through. And then my husband started leaving, and so the whole thing that catalyzed my writing was a memoir, because then I really got to the essence of me. Mm. And then I went back to Monkey's Wedding, and now I'm back in Mind Dancers, because Monkey's Wedding got picked up, and Love You Bye was published first.
Interesting how that sequence came about. You're working on Monkey's Wedding, but then life happened to you where you had to stop.
Right.
You had to stop and pay attention to that. So let's go there now. The name of that book is Love You Bye, which is an amazing, amazing title. Maybe give us a brief synopsis.
Well, my ex-husband, who was like my forever person, you know, the American that I always had this idealized version of, so now here I'm with him, and we're doing okay. I mean, not hot, but with my idealized version of him, it was going to work, whether it was working or not, for me anyway. And then he started leaving. He started like leaving little cryptic notes. Gone to Mexico, adios. That's how it started out. He mean like 5 different times, and then I'm making allowances and thinking, okay, he's going through a little midlife crisis, but like the third midlife crisis is, you know, it's a bit. And in the meantime, we had a fabulous Staffordshire Bull Terrier, a Sweet Pea, who right in the beginning had, a fatal disease, but weren't getting it, you know, have it put down. Anyway, the whole thing got to a point of where I had to really realize that the marriage is over, and he's weaseling out of it, so to speak. And at the same time, Sweet Pea is dying slowly. Mm-hmm. And so I go back to Africa. Now I've got that issue with my brother, mm-hmm. that long time guilt, that huge guilt that has weighed me down. I left Africa. I left him. I was responsible in a way. And of course I wasn't. But it took me going back to Africa and seeing my brother in a truer light than I'd ever seen him before, that gave me the key. And so when I came back, I was able to really start seeing things as they were. And Sweet Pea, and then there's the dog. Oh. She was a huge part of it. And there was a huge, for him as well, for my ex-husband as well, he's like my brother at this point, mm-hmm. you know, and I realized how much I idealized the relationship. And so when I come back, there is this huge realization about my life and how much I had not, my lack of boundaries and not seen the reality for what it was.
Wow, such a perfect storm. It seems like everything came together, your brother, your dog, your husband. And
It was almost like this is strange,
yeah.
Like, you know, Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. The book, as I'm going through it, as I'm writing these parts, and then the next step happens, and it's like, wow, did I project that? You know, this is the next step. And it was so fully realized as I'm writing. Of course, it's not readable, but there was so much of me that was going through it and was able to articulate it in a way that gave me more of a form in my mind. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. It informed it more fully through the writing. I mean, it just, the realization, I urge everybody, hey, everybody in the world, write a memoir. Really. Mm-hmm. Because if you even approach it, something happens. There's something that happens if you're, and especially if you go, well, I think you have to go through something to want to write a memoir. Something happens in that you become a little more fully realized through grounding it, mm-hmm. with words. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're like, you put the words down and then you go, oh, no, that's not what I was feeling and mm-hmm. thinking. So then you revise it and then you get closer to the truth of that moment. And it was very powerful for me.
Plus, it forces you to actually face it. I think so many people just want to hide from what's going on or how they're feeling. And so as you're writing, you have to obviously face it. So it would have to be a growing experience just by the fact that you paid attention.
Yes. And my problem wasn't so much I tend to bumble into, you know, I'll charge into things. Mine was that lack of boundaries. It's like, wow, all that, that lack of boundaries of not knowing when to call something and where the end is, it gave me those parameters. It gave me, you know, a container. Mm-hmm. It gave me a container.
Mm-hmm. So were you actually writing as this was going on, or were you writing after the fact?
That's the uncanny thing. I was. And it's so funny because my ex has, a killer sense of humor, really dry. So as I'm writing, and I told him, you know, like in a, let's say, a testy way, I'm writing about this, you know. And he said, well, nobody wants to read, and he was a postal service worker. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to read about a mailman, so you can forget it right now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and it's hilarious. I mean, it's something to laugh about. And all along, and he'll never read it, because part of his problem was not wanting to face
it. Mm-hmm.
Face anything, mm-hmm. responsibility type mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was writing as it was occurring. Yeah.
Excellent. How did you come up with that title, Love You By? It's great.
You know, it's my little grandson. He used to call from South Africa, and in the middle of the conversation, he's done. And he used to say, love you, bye. That was the end of it. So my son and I, and then my other son who lives in America, that's how we end phone conversations. It's like, okay, love you, bye. Click. You know, and the conversation's over. And so I thought, that's perfect.
Yep.
But then what is it about? What is Love You Die about? So I wanted to give, in the title, I want to give it more of the meat of what it was about. And so it came pretty quickly. I mean, I'm a very, very, I mean, it takes me like 10 hours to come up with, you know, a paragraph sometimes. But that came, it came pretty quickly. And then there's the dog.
And then there's the dog, exactly. That's awesome. I love it. And it actually really got, both your books got great reviews.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it's very heartening.
Yes, it is, and it feels good. And I love your book trailer on Monkey's Wedding.
A Russian made that for me.
Really?
Isn't that funny?
We're going to post that on the site. Well, now, as you're writing both of these books, you're thinking, as far as the reader goes, was it more cathartic for you, or were you wanting the reader to come away with something?
I really did. I almost didn't publish Love You By. I was comfortable with Monkey's Wedding, but I was very uncomfortable publishing Love You By, and everybody can go, I can see why. Mm-hmm. It was hard, you know, to put myself out there naked, as it were. But, you know, I had encouragement, and then a really good girlfriend was like, you know, perhaps this will help somebody. That to me is a bit of a conceit, in a way. But and then prior to publishing it, I have people come up to me and say, I don't know what it is, but this rings so much, not that I had this experience, but it speaks to something in me that I really appreciated. And so I can give credence to that now. But I wanted to make it universal. You know, I think isn't that the goal of all writers?
Mm-hmm.
To have a universal appeal where people can relate, and it's not just your story, but there's something in the story that belongs to humanity, as it were.
Yes.
And I hope it does that. I really do. And the same with Monkey's Wedding.
Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about the premise of that. Maybe give us a little peek into that book.
Oh, that one's it was hard in the beginning because it was so bad. But it's about they're adolescents. I don't give the age, but there are two adolescents, and you 12, 13, 14, a white girl and her actual servant. He worked for them. Turu is his name. Tururu, and her name is Elizabeth. And they live on a sisal plantation in Zimbabwe, and her father's the overseer of it. And it's at a time when the political situation, I said it in a time when the country was just, the African population was just beginning to say, hey, you can't do that to us anymore. That whole white power, the whole British system, you can't do that to us anymore. We need a voice. And I said it in that point where the two Rhodesias, it was called Rhodesia at the time, right, and Nyasaland, were made a federation, and they hadn't a voice in it. And there's a little, you know, kind of a storm in a teacup in just in the in that location where Elizabeth and Tudor live. And it's also a clash. I also wanted to bring the mystical in because of that magic of the heart. And so to illustrate that as a metaphor, I made the magic with the black magic. She's a witch doctor. The grandmother is a witch doctor, Tudor's grandmother. And she's also kind of a mother to Elizabeth, whose own mother is struggling with this child who's very ill. Again, my brother comes into it. Mm-hmm. And it's about how Elizabeth and Tudor become pals instead of just her being the mistress and him the servant, and the misunderstandings and what she grew up with and how she thinks about the black-white situation. So as they go through their adventures and she tries to have the grandmother cure her brother, that whole thing comes together where the grandmother predicts that it's going to take the black magic, not black as in bad magic, but mm-hmm. the African magic and the magic of the white together to create a new society. So I wanted to, because then the next book, Mind Dances, goes into that when there is a showdown, so to speak. But it is about the political situation. It's about motivation, which his grandmother has a part to play too, because her apprentice rebels and almost kills the wife. And Tudor's and Elizabeth's friendship, and actually what people have picked up on and really seem to really like is their friendship. You know, the fact of it's real. It's not just a white kid and a black kid, you know, making nice.
Right.
It was earned in a way. But yeah, that's pretty much how it is. Of course, I went all over the place to explain it. But
No, yeah, that's good. That's good. And Monkey's Wedding is the title. Why is that the title?
Oh, yes. And you find out in the book, but I'll
a little spoiler.
It's when so growing up, when it's raining and then the sun comes out, you call it a sun shower here. When it's raining and the sun comes out, they call it a monkey's wedding.
Oh,
the Zulus have it. There's a Zulu name for it, and throughout Africa, there's the saying it's a monkey's wedding. And then Elizabeth tells him, and he says, "Why do you always call it a monkey's wedding?" And she says, "Oh, it's when the monkeys get married, for goodness sake, with a big white dress and cake and everything." And he goes, and he says, "Like really?" And she said, "Oh, honestly, of course not. Monkeys don't get married, you know." So it's a theme. And then she says, "It's a time of magic."
Oh.
And so I wanted to plug that in, and it does become a time of magic for both of them.
Oh, I love this. Monkey's Wedding.
Mm.
Oh, gosh. So as far as the publishing, you had a bit of a time, as you said, your publisher or editor kept saying, no more flashbacks, but it did get published. You were excited about that. Share that.
Yeah. Monkey's Wedding was shoved in a drawer for 10 years. But prior to that, I had an agent, and Time Warner was interested in it. And then what happened was the editor left. There was a merging of the houses, and then the agent and I parted ways, and Monkey's Wedding went in the drawer. And then I wrote Mind Dances, and then Love You Bye. So once I wrote Love You Bye, I thought, okay, that's the key. Let me get this published. So I published that through She Writes Press, and that was quite an experience. You know what? Today it's hard work because all the work is in social media, is in trying to publicize it, in trying to get noticed, trying to get reviews. Otherwise, it just dies. It dies on the vine. Even for people published, unless you're a big name, it's a real tough field right now. And then, Monkey's Wedding got that stuff after Love You Bye, and it got picked up by Kindle Scout. Mm-hmm. And Kindle Scout is a publishing arm of Amazon, and they have, like, I don't know, I guess you could call it the American Idol of publishing. Mm-hmm. So if people vote, you know, if you get voted, you get a lot of votes, then they will pick you up and give you an advance, and it's like, you know, a whole publishing thing. And the beauty of it is they publicize, they market you. Mm-hmm. And so that Love You Bye, having been published before, got a little bit of that, got into that slipstream a little bit. So it was quite wonderful being picked up by Kindle Scout.
That is exciting, because what you said about the whole promotions and marketing side of it and social media, that is a common theme as I talk with different authors, where there's the beauty of self-publishing, where you can get your work out there and don't have to wait for a big house to pick it up. But then on the other side of the coin is that you're responsible for all that promotion. And that, I mean, it takes away from writing. And if you've got a job or children or family or whatever, something else that you're doing, there's only so much a person can do in a day.
And there's a whole industry who is out there telling you, no, 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 you're doing that wrong. Mm. You try this. Mm-hmm. And it gets to be very expensive if you follow all the, and it's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting. And yes, there's no writing. No writing takes place.
Exactly.
You're busy following all these little rabbits down a hole. And then once you're down there, you're in Alice in Wonderland's land. You know, it's terrible. I'm kind of done with it. I say that, but I'll be back. I'll be back in there tomorrow.
Well, speaking of being done with it, what's next? What's on your writing agenda next?
You know what? I'm working on Mind Dance.
Right.
Now, that takes place up north, and Elizabeth's older, Tudor's older, and it's a continuation of their story. And I'm having so much fun because now they're real teenagers, you know, and so many other issues come up for her and for him, and there's still the magic involved. And Mind Dance refers to, they live on a copper mine. Mm-hmm. Turu is kind of finds his way there in a different way, but she lives where her father works on the copper mine. And at the end of the year, when you're about to turn 16, you get to go to the Mind Dance. And at the end of the story, that's it. Her whole goal is to go to this Mind Dance to get the boy, but there's so many things that happen in between involving Turu, and it could go terribly wrong because there's, the, you know, the political situation here is a lot more, a lot hotter, mm-hmm. and she has to take a stand. So that's what the title is about. Will she make this Mind Dance?
Oh, I love that Mind Dance. That's awesome. Well, we're going to look forward to that. You have to keep us posted when that comes out, and we'll...
Well, I will.
Share that. Well, now, is there anything that we missed that you would like to talk about today?
No.
All right. We covered it pretty well, didn't we?
Yes.
Good. You were fun. So where can folks go then to learn more about you, and where can they purchase your books?
Okay. My books are Kindle and paperback are on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and Love You Bye is actually called Book Depository, and any little bookstore that you can find open these days. And Monkey's Wedding isn't as accessible, but it's definitely available in Barnes & Noble and on Amazon. And my website is www.rossandrawhite.com. And I'm on Twitter, but I'm not very good at it.
So we'll send folks to your website, rossandrawhite.com, and through the other normal routes they could find you, they can Google you, but the website is Rossandra White. Well, my friend, any final words before we say goodbye?
No, this has been delightful. I was a little nervous, you know, but no, thank you very much.
You know how we should end this? We should say, love you, bye.
Click.
Click. Rossandra, you are a joy. I knew we were going to have a wonderful afternoon together. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Love you. Bye.
Click.